Baseball Panthers Pulse. An inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League. Exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio.
It's television.
It's on the web.
It's the Panthers Pulse, and we are here to talk football with Panther Nation.
How about that?
Hey, completely ad-libbed.
We could take this show on the road. Yeah, well, welcome to the Panthers Pulse. Greg Brandon from the Panthers TV Network here, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer for Panthers.com, Max Henson, the incomparable. Max Henson, writer for Panthers.com.
This show's off to a great start.
Yeah, there we go. And then Dan LaTaraca, who has his pulse, his mental pulse on all things social media.
I have my pulse on the pulse.
Pulse on the pulse. Glad you've joined us. It's always just an informal chat when we get around, sit around the microphones, talk about the Carolina Panthers, what's up in Panther Nation, what's up with the football team. And we've got a lot to talk about today, but before we dive into that, let's divert quickly to college football. Did everybody watch?
Yeah, oh yeah. Of course.
I did. I left it on the whole time.
I did too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I did too.
You know who also watched, Greg?
Who?
Our players were really getting chippy last night.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Just real quick, we don't spend too much time on that, but just, guys, your thoughts on the national championship game last night.
I mean, you know, obviously, the Alabama, amazing performance. You know, a lot of talk about the SEC. What's that, 7 in a row now for the league?
Too many.
I mean, yeah, certainly impressive. I mean, I will say I've heard a little bit, you know, the SEC dominance thing. There's no doubt about them winning the big game. But, I think this is more about Alabama dominance and his SEC dominance at this point. But 3 out of 4.
Yeah. What I find fascinating about what Alabama's done with this dynasty, if you want to call it that too, is, and especially watching them last night, is in the college game where there are so many of these spread offenses and so many of these new wave offenses and teams are so athletic on the edges and they beat you that way. There is not a more true power pro-style offense. Pro-style, really. I mean, so coming from our NFL perspective, you watch Alabama and it is just such, you know, power run game, play action, and then they just kill you with it.
Yep.
And it's so effective. And they're really the only team that's really does it as effectively as they do. Obviously, the three national titles speak for themselves. But just the way they're doing it has been so impressive.
Well, and the real entertainment probably was on Twitter. I know I had my iPad out, and I was kind of watching. I felt like it was J.J. Janssen against the world.
Yeah, I'm sure it felt like that.
Dude, it was a long night for you, I know. But
didn't see much Jimmy on there either.
Yeah. Dan, what was kind of the overriding
feel? Everybody ganging up on JJ. Yeah. I'm really surprised we didn't see much coverage on ESPN this morning, though, of the title game.
Yeah, well, and it was funny because I saw, you know, Captain Munnerlyn. I mean, all these guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of SEC guys.
I mean, you know, Charles Johnson. Oh, yeah. And they were beating that, you know, SEC golf.
It was all in good fun. Players are worried about it. Two guys that stood out, though.
Who's that?
Jesse Williams, the defensive tackle for Alabama.
Okay.
And Warmack, the guard. How good do those guys look?
The LaTaraca scouting
report. Yeah, the scouting report coming from Dan.
Well, and those will be names that you will hear, you know, as we go through
April. Yeah, it's not a tough job scouting Alabama. There's a lot of good players on that team. A lot jump out.
Yeah, that's an easy. All right. We're off the college bandwagon. Let's get back to Panthers news. And, of course, the talk coming out of, last week, that the final game of the year, and then the week after was the future of Coach Ron Rivera. Over the weekend, as it's been well reported everywhere, he met with owner Jerry Richardson, and Ron continues as the head coach, preparing for the 2013 season. Brian, Max, I know both of you guys have been plugged into this. Just your thoughts about that and the fact that this team's moving forward.
I mean, you know, glad to see it, stating the obvious, well-deserved, especially given what happened the last month of the season. Well-documented as well, winning the last four of the season. And, you know, I don't think you hear as much about this on the NFL level as you do on the college level sometimes, but I mean, I believe in continuity when it comes to coaching situations and think, you know, it's a situation where you're rolling. Ending the season, you could take a step back if you made a major change in that regard. So I'm glad to see the staff get a chance to kind of continue what it started here at the end of the year.
Well, Max, let me ask you specifically on what Brian talked about one guy, and that's Cam Newton. When you talk about continuity and you go back to Cam's college career, going from Florida, Blinn College, Auburn, and then coming into the pros, how important is it for a young quarterback to have that stability?
Yeah,
and the impact it would have had on him.
Well, like you said, Cam's been used to a lot of change, a lot of new playbooks. But I'm sure for him, this has got to be a bit of a sigh of relief that now you get to stay in that same system. I mean, people talk about that third year for a quarterback, And it you could say it might have stunted that growth if he had a whole new system to learn, a whole new coaching staff to adjust to. I think the fact that continuity remains, the coaching staff and Coach Rivera, at least as far as, you know, is going to be here.
Right.
I think it plays a big role in him continuing to grow and stay on that learning curve he's on, because, like you said, it's tough to go from playbook to playbook and have to start from scratch. So I think that'll definitely help this team moving forward.
Dan, I know on social media this has been a huge topic, especially over the last couple of weeks, and I believe you actually have got a question that kind of concerning Ron Rivera.
Sure. I mean, it's always polarizing, but we have a lot of good questions coming in about it. And you have Jessica Stanton asking on Facebook, Coach Rivera has been given another chance to improve on the team's performance. Aside from making good draft choices, what is the best way for him to increase the chances of the Panthers making the playoffs next year? What should he do during the offseason to make sure that the guys don't lose their motivation to win?
That was a two-part question.
That was a doozy. I'm out of breath.
Well, look, I'll respond to that directly. Do what you were doing the last six weeks of the regular season. And I know a lot of things played. And as you heard Coach Rivera talk about throughout the season, the consistency that he was looking for from his football team. And over the last 6 weeks, really, I think we saw that. And really with some role players and really, you know, shuffling guys in and out along the offensive line, the defensive secondary, to have success. And I don't care who you're playing coming down the stretch.
Right.
To have success, whatever that was, I think it's going to be vital that it's not November and December, that it's September and October coming up.
And I would, you know, the motivation to win is always going to be there for this group, I feel like. I mean, I think there's a proven track record. I mean, if they're motivated to win when they're 2-8, not going to the playoffs, they're going to be motivated going into next season.
You know, a lot of fans are asking, what is the difference between this time last year and this year? Because we came off similar seasons, similar records, but what's the real difference?
I think the fact that last year happened is one of the differences, is that they see what happened, you know, when, I'm not saying, they were definitely motivated to win coming into this season, but maybe they, you know, Jordan Gross not that long ago said, hey, maybe we thought it was going to be a little easier than it really was, because we're like, hey, we've arrived. We, you know, we finished the year strong. We're ready to roll. This year, they know that it takes more than just, you know, feeling that way.
Necessary, definitely.
Sure. And I mean, think, look at the body of work too. I mean, you look at this year's season, and we've talked about it all year on this show. The kind of plays away from wins against some playoff caliber teams this season. I mean, sure, this team finished 7-9. But they were pretty close to having a winning record this year when you go back and look at some of the games. So this year has a bit of a noticeable difference feel to it than last year.
Yeah.
Well, everybody talked about the head coach coming back. That means his staff, you know, also is hard at work down on the 200 level. And I know the two of you over the last week or so have had the opportunity to sit down with all three coordinators and talk a little bit. You've got stories on Panthers.com. Without going, you know, blow by blow, what's in the stories. Max, let me just start with you. You know, I know you had a great conversation with Rob Chudzinski, and he gave you some really interesting stats just about the offense and the development of the offense.
Right. Well, I mean, I think everyone you talk about offense, you look at where they finish in total yards and points scored. And for the Panthers, it's 12th in total yards in the league, 18th in scoring. So kind of in the middle of the pack there. But when you look at these two stats, the third fewest possessions in the league the Panthers had, and seventh worst average starting field position. So what this Panthers offense was able to do with those kind of limitations, just not having the ball as much as so many of those other teams and having the field position they did, it kind of speaks volumes to those numbers. And we saw, I think, beyond even those statistics, like you were kind of mentioning, Greg, towards the end of the season, you can tell by the win streak, just the gradual improvement that we saw from that unit. And in the face of some real adversity, we both on and off the field, but when you look strictly on it, I mean, that offensive line is the heartbeat of this offense. That's what Coach Chudzinski told me in preseason. I mean, that was what this team's heartbeat was going to be, and it really took a hard hit with Khalil's injury, then with Jeff Hangardner getting hurt a bit too. I mean, you're looking at you were at a situation there where there were a lot of young guys up front in the interior, and that was tough to overcome. I mean, they found a way to get through that, and I think that's a credit to that staff. And to the players for finding a way to get it done, regardless, because any team in the NFL is going to talk about the fact that they've got some injuries to work through. But that offense had some big ones, Jonathan Stewart to name another. I mean, they found a way, and you look at the numbers at the end of the year, and they're pretty impressive when you factor all the circumstances in.
Well, let's flip quickly before we get to special teams. Let's go to defense. Right. You wrote a review about the defensive side as well, and
we talked
with Sean McDermott. And I know he was fired up. I mean, the day after the season, you could just sense that he
Sean's
was...
Sean's usually fired up. And any reason to be afterwards, too. Some cool... we talked last week on the show about Luke's final tackle numbers. Did not have it. We do have it now. 205 total tackles.
Wow.
It's just
so that's the final.
It's an incredible number. I mean, you just look at that number.
That breaks the record by 30-plus, right?
Wow. Yep. So, okay, so new franchise record. Yeah. So obviously, Sean's been very excited about Luke all year, understandably, and I think you talk to him and looking forward to next year. It's that linebacking core that Sean, that the coaching staff, that fans, everyone's really excited about. Because you look at that group. You look at the thought of John Beeson and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, and you – specifically TD are looking at this list. So Luke leads the team with 205 this year. The next guy is Thomas Davis with 118. 118 is not a bad tackle number at all. And Luke Kuechly almost doubles. Thomas. Well, I mean, and again, that's an impressive number. Thomas Davis, 118 tackles. So, again, a lot to be excited about for the defensive side of the ball. It's a young unit. We talked about a lot of inexperienced guys getting a lot of valuable snaps. And yeah, you look at a guy like Luke Kuechly coming in. That's year one. We'll see what he does in year two.
And then, Brian, you talked with Richard Rodgers about special teams, and that was a unit in turmoil during the season, coaching change, and that's always difficult.
Yeah, he's the new guy on the block as far as the coordinator's concerned. Wasn't an assistant until the final seven games of the season. And, I mean, I've been impressed as much as anything. There's some good numbers there, but also just the way the units responded to him and the way he handled them. I mean, he did a great job of instilling confidence in them, of in some ways kind of letting them do their own thing, recognizing their strengths, but saying, you know, kind of not just letting them go free, so to speak, but saying, you know, you know what you're doing. I have confidence in what you're doing. They really bonded around that and seemed to respond to that. You know, statistically, I see you have a picture of Brad Nortman here on the screen from that story. Good to see, you know, the rookie punter. There were some struggles midseason, the way he finished. Four of his last five games, he averaged more than 44 yards a kick after a month of not doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, punt returns, you know, it was Joe Adams some, Armani Edwards some, but when Rodgers took over, we were 31st in the league in punt returns. We ended up 14th. So,
wow. Yeah. That's,
well, and unfortunately, Armani's biggest return of the year, he just as soon forget.
Or at least the end of it, yes.
Well, right, never get run down by the punter. All right, Dan, the heartbeat, what you got going on over there?
Speaking of Armani, we have a lot of questions about him. One coming from Kevin Thompson, who asks a ton of really good questions today. Hopefully we can get to a few of those. But Kevin asks, my question is about Armonte Edwards' future. Armani ended the 2012 season having been targeted 9 times for 5 receptions for 121 yards. He averaged over 24 yards per reception. His highest gain was for 82 yards. Will we see Armonte as a starter in the future?
I don't know. he's trending up, to use a popular term. I mean, obviously, I'll say that. He had his most productive year. He got his most opportunities. I mean, he was, you know, the primary punt returner last year, so he probably literally touched the ball more last year. But obviously, we saw him a lot more receiver. You know, he had the play against the Redskins. I think he got caught from behind.
He did get caught from behind there, too.
I can joke about this because Armani was great about joking about it the other day. After the day after the season ended, he said, "Hey, I haven't had that many chances to run that far for a while. Right. That's something I got to work on in the off season. So hopefully I have more chances to do it, and he'll be ready for it." But he's trending up. I mean, to say he's a starter, we haven't seen indications that he's about to crack the starting lineup, but contributor, yes.
Yeah, he's certainly a guy that's gotten a lot of respect and appreciation for his teammates, for his work ethic. So that goes.
That 82-yard play in Washington was one of the biggest plays of the year. It was a key point in that game, and Steve Smith was a great block on that play. Definitely a memorable one, but I'm sure, yes, Armani would like to have punctuated that one with a touchdown.
And I think what gets lost is how hard he's worked.
Yeah.
You know, he really, you know, on the practice field and just to become an NFL wide receiver, you know, coming out of college as a quarterback, that's not easy. I don't care who you are.
Not a lot of guys can have done that. Yeah.
And the fact that he's been able to do that and been productive when he's had those opportunities. Let me shift gears real quick again, too, and go back downstairs to the 200 level. You know, the talk here in the building, of course, is the search for a new general manager. How important do you guys perceive that to be, that it happened now as opposed to later? You know, it's clear that the process is going to be deliberate.
Yeah.
A lot of different names have been thrown around. We don't need to talk about that. But just to have that GM as you head to the Senior Bowl and really begin, you know, the talent evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, you want to make the right decision, the Panthers brass, in the process of making sure they make the right decision. You do want to make sure you turn over every leaf, and that is tricky because, you know, you could not talk to anybody until after their season was over, mm-hmm. so that limits the speed of the process. At the same time, once you know who your man is, you need to move on it because, what, you guys are packing up and headed to Mobile for the Senior Bowl in less than two weeks.
Yeah, just a couple weeks. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you want to have all your ducks in a row as that really kicks off the stretch run toward the draft.
A lot of good cliches in your answer right
Thank
there.
You.
Turning
up
a leaf, ducks in a row. It's no stone unturned in that one.
Thanks. But,
no, really. I mean, Brian, everything you said was right, though. I mean, this is a decision that is so important for the Panthers because the organization is moving in a not a new direction entirely, but this guy's responsible for a lot. And, be pretty exciting to see what ends up happening, but I think the Panthers did a great thing by hiring Ernie Accorsi to come in as a consultant and get a jump on the game and start evaluating everything. And, you know, there might be a lot of NFL teams out there that knew they were going to let their general manager go by at the end of the year, but we ended up getting a consultant in here to sort of examine things and take an educated outside look mm-hmm. at how to fix.
What you got there on social side, Dan?
Okay. Well, we have another one from Kevin Thompson asking.
He's like the all-star, isn't he?
Yeah, really. Kevin's getting a lot of love here.
Well, you know, he asked some good questions.
Yeah.
Asking, what is your favorite Steve Smith quote? He's a great guy for good quotes. You have one. And we can come back to that
later.
That's
funny. That's a tough question to ask because it forces you to think. But I do actually know one. Talking to Steve kind of towards the end of the season just about Steve's a guy who knows that his days are numbered, so to speak.
Sure.
I mean, he talks openly about the fact that he doesn't have many years left. So he'll talk about the end of his career. But anyway, he was asked about once his career is over, where he'll finish among all-time wide receivers and yada, yada, yada. And Steve just kind of just looked at the media talking to him, and he just said, man, I'm just going to keep spinning that ball. And it's it kind of really it really speaks to what Steve is for this team. I mean, the guy just gets out there every Sunday, and you know what you're going to get from him. You know he's going to get up after catches and spin that ball, and he's going to bring that energy. And that one, it came to mind right away.
Yeah, there
so
you
there
go.
You go, Kevin.
And that's probably the most fitting, I would think.
Yeah.
You got anything on that?
I can't argue.
You can't
with that.
Top that one?
I can't top that. I did think, you know, about, you know, someone talking about what was it about, whether he was, you know, why doesn't he smile more, or was he happier more? And he talked about, you know, wearing tight pants. I don't know. It was just fun.
And that's another side of Steve. You also get that.
How about during his press conference last offseason when he got signed to the extension and he came wearing a Gizmo shirt from Gremlins and that really loud hat?
Well, and that's Steve. And that's funny because, and it's good that you could pull that one quote out because really the fascinating part about Steve is you'll ask him a question and he'll answer it and he'll go like this.
Yeah.
He'll talk all the way back and finally, you know, come back around. But he's a special guy. There'll be plenty of time for us to pile accolades on Steve Smith as we go along.
Yep.
All right. I know you guys all watched Wild Card Weekend. Any surprises?
I was 4-0. That's all I got to say.
And that's all that matters.
And this time next week, I'll say the same thing.
Well, let me ask you this.
Surprises?
Who won last year?
Well, let me ask you this. Not being involved in the playoffs as an organization, does it dampen your appetite for NFL football, or are you still, you know, very interested in what's going on with the playoffs?
I mean, I love the NFL. I, you know, when I was in a room that had a television, I had it on the playoff game. But you know, there were times when I'd allow myself to wander away from the TV. So yes and no. I still want to know what's going on, but I'm not locked in.
Sure,
it's hockey season.
I'd probably agree. I mean, it's certainly just. Obviously, in our line of work, we're obviously all very interested in these games. So I'll be watching. I do think that obviously, if you've got a horse in the race, so to speak, you're a little more focused on the details and trying to, you know, because you don't know who you might be playing and what potential matchup could be coming down the road. But yeah, I think we all had a couple eyes on the games.
A lot you can learn from these games, and it's always a learning experience, and it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Before we jump off on this weekend's games, Dan, anything else off of social media we need to hit?
Oh, sure. Let me run through the
spin the dial
here. We got quite a few, so
pick a good one.
What else is going on with Kevin? Anything else he wants?
We got a lot from Kevin.
Yeah, and I say that I'm not digging on Kevin. I
mean, yeah,
he's very active.
Fifth member of the show.
Yeah, on our social sites, and he does ask good questions. So. All right. We danced as long as we could, Dan.
I appreciate that. Well, we have a lot of fans asking about, obviously, the offseason. And Brian Johnson came in on Twitter saying, what do you think the team's biggest needs are going into the draft and free agency? And obviously, we can't be too descript, but we can kind of gloss over that one.
Well, I mean, that's just one of those questions that's like this.
Yeah.
And I think right now the biggest issue for the Panthers going into the offseason, you need to hire your general manager. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to be the guy who's going to set the tone. You know, obviously the coaches, you know, they spend, you know, the week or two right after the season self-scouting the current players on the roster, and then they turn their attention, you know, to the college side. And you know, we're kind of picking, what, in the middle of the pack, 14.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good position to be in. You know, you're away from those, you know, top, you know, 5-10 picks.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's going to be a good player available. Yeah. So
I think, you know, there are positions you can say that aren't big needs would be another way to look at it. I mean, every NFL team needs help. The team that wins the Super Bowl is going to need help. The draft's going to be valuable to them, too. I mean, I would say, think about this, and we were talking about Luke Kuechly earlier. You would not have said linebacker was our biggest need, I don't think, going into the draft.
And we
took a best available player approach there, picking number 9 last year. And now look at how we're talking about Luke. So, you know, I'm not saying the position debate is overrated by any stretch. It's definitely a big consideration. But, you know, sometimes it's about getting football players, regardless of position.
All right, let's jump back to this weekend. We're going to wrap the Pulse up today by talking about the divisional playoff weekend. The Saturday games, the 4:30 tilt, the Ravens versus the Broncos on CBS. Let's go game by game. Brian, Ravens, Broncos.
You know, I mean, Max is, you know.
I didn't ask Max.
I mean, I hate to say this. It's just kind of hard to ignore what happened when they met, what was it, 4 weeks ago,
yeah,
6 weeks ago?
That, yeah.
When, you know, there was one big play that turned the tide, but the Broncos kind of took care of business there. And you can't argue with Peyton Manning's track record in the playoffs.
That's
although,
true.
You know, Joe Flacco has a better playoff resume than most people realize. But it's hard to I was about to say bet against, but hard to go against the Broncos.
All right,
there.
So Broncos.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you've got insight on the Broncos.
Yeah,
you spent a
that's
year
what
there.
I was going to say.
Although this team does look a lot different, especially at the quarterback position, than they did a year ago. But yeah, I would also go with the Broncos. And you know, you watch that Ravens Colts game too. I mean, from just an NFL fan watching Ray Lewis's final home game in Baltimore was very cool. And obviously, so much energy and just a motivating force for that game. But the Colts hung around.
They did.
In that entire game with rookie quarterback and obviously a team that had 2 wins a year ago. I mean, now that Ravens team has to go high altitude to Denver, I mean, this is a different task against Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I just don't think they have enough to win up there.
Dan?
I'm taking the Ravens.
Oh!
I think they're juiced
There's
up.
one in every group.
I think, you know, yeah, they lost by like 17 points a couple weeks ago. I get that. And they are on the road, and they've had less time to prepare. But because of that lack of preparation time, there's a lot of momentum coming in from last week, a lot of energy. And you got to play that. I think the Ravens are, you know, I have personal wants there as well, but
gotcha.
I'd like to see Baltimore to beat Denver.
I don't think there's any way the Ravens go to Denver and win.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Second game on
well
Saturday.
Said.
Yeah. The late game will be the Texans. No, I'm sorry. The late game on Saturday is Packers 49ers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably the game I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it'd be easy to say the winner of this is going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't know if I can take it that far. But this feels like an NFC Championship matchup to me. And I go back and forth on this one. I mean, I really wow.
Pick somebody.
All right. Well,
All right. You've just figured out what drives Brian Strickland nuts is making
okay,
a decision.
I'm actually going to pick the Packers because they showed me something in the running game this week, this past week that I didn't
and
expect.
And they did, too, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. All right.
Yeah. Man, I guess I'm going with Brian again on this one. I also am going to go with the Packers. And for me, it comes down to, I mean, great defense, 49ers. But in these kind of games, I just look at the quarterback matchup, and I just say to myself, do I really think Colin Kaepernick is going to outplay Aaron Rodgers and win this game? And I just can't say that. So, I mean, I'm going with Rodgers and the Packers.
All right.
I agree with Max and Brian there. I mean, they're both very good teams. The fans are the winners here. I mean, this is a really entertaining matchup.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, yeah, by far. So you're going Packers?
Packers, yeah.
Clean sweep here.
Clean sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I'd exactly, Max, what you said. When you think about young quarterbacks, there's been so much talk about, you know, young quarterbacks this year. You know, Colin Kaepernick has played well at times, but he's also really struggled at times. And this is a whole different level.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want a guy leading you into a playoff game, I think you could argue that Aaron Rodgers is the best player in football.
Right.
All right, so that's the Saturday. The Sunday games, the early game, 4:30, Texans-Patriots. So Houston maybe redeemed themselves a little bit. Let me go in reverse order. I'll start with Dan this time.
Ah, man. That's Texans, another tough Patriots. One. I mean, I'm going to pull a Brian Strickland here and kind of waffle a little bit.
But, so now the clock's tick, tick, tick.
I'd like to see the Texans win, but I think the Patriots have the advantage there.
All right. Max?
Yeah. I mean, love to see J.J. Watt and the Tech, being a Wisconsin guy myself, would like to see that happen as well, Dan. But I just don't think they've got enough against that Patriots. So this is another rematch of an earlier season game. The Patriots, I mean, just so tough to beat at Gillette Stadium, too. I mean, we don't have to go into it. The Patriots have been so good in this league for so long now. I just think they get it done again.
Yep, I got to mirror those thoughts. I mean, the Texans have been, you know, they've gotten a lot better, especially in the regular season the last couple of years. But, I mean, again, looking back at the regular season, the Patriots handled the Texans pretty easily, and I don't think a lot has changed since that game.
All right, I'm going to go for the upset. I think the Texans are going to shock the world.
All right.
Because of your guy.
That's big.
Because of JJ. Well, I think if he can get his hands on Tom Brady, it becomes a different ball game.
Right. Well, that's honestly the key. You look at these quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. All these defenses, the key is going to be getting these guys' faces.
But I think, though, more than any of those quarterbacks you just mentioned, if you can get the Brady.
To Tom,
I mean, I think, you know, the Giants showed if you can get the Brady, you can get him off his game, and that's their entire offense. All right. And actually, the 1 o'clock game then on Sunday, Seahawks in the Georgia Dome.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that applies to Matt Ryan, too, though. That's going to be one of the keys is whether the Seahawks can get to Matt Ryan or not. With Clemens being out, hurts that cause a little bit.
Yeah.
Falcons, you know, don't have a lot of playoff success, you know, recently at all. And, I mean, I think people would almost consider the Seahawks a favorite because of that. I think the Falcons, I don't know why, I think the Falcons are finally going to win a playoff game with Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There's something about the Seahawks team that just you're just watching them and you're like, this team has just a playoff run in them. Russell Wilson doing some incredible things out there. That defense is playing inspired football, and I don't know, just that intangible aspect of the Seahawks right now. I have them winning in Atlanta.
All right,
I'm taking Seattle. I think the momentum they have right now, and not having Clemens hurts them, but they have a pretty deep defense, and I think they'll be able to put a lot of pressure on Ryan.
Well, I think the Clemens injury is huge.
Oh, it is,
but. Just down deep in my gut, I can't pull for the Atlanta Falcons. I can't.
Someone's honest.
I can't do it. So
at least he said it,
I'm hoping the Seahawks magic will carry right on through. So, but you know, the bottom line is the NFL is a great game.
Yeah,
it's a great game to sit at home and watch. We'd much rather be involved and be covering a game that the Panthers were involved with. But you know, we hope that's on down the road. So as NFL fans, which we all are. It'll be a great weekend of football, and I really think Wild Card Weekend and this weekend are two of the greatest weekends, in NFL football. But anyway, you know what? You know what the clock says. We're out of time. So, gentlemen, appreciate it. Panther Nation, appreciate you guys being with us as well. Mike Kraft will be back next week. He just needed a week off from these guys. These guys were driving him crazy. So we appreciate you being with us. We'll see you next week right here on The Pulse.